Will somebody please tell the folk out in the narthex that this is last call? Blink the lights on and off. All right, good morning. It's good to see everybody. Our European travelers are back home and somewhat the worse for wear, but all seem to be recovering now. So we are glad you're here. This 10th day of September, a little cooler temperatures. Thank you, Lord. I tell you what, we were about to melt away there. Some announcements today in our life as church. We are having our second Sunday fellowship following worship. And even if you don't have a reservation, we would like for you to come on up and see what the Lord hath wrought in the silent auction. There are many wonderful things up there that are in need of your bidding. And this is going to go to defray the cost of the Christmas decorations which we have purchased, especially a brand new Christmas tree. This is what we would call in our denomination a non-budgeted capital expenditure. So please help us out with that. Sometimes it is also asking forgiveness instead of permission. Let's see, other announcements. The Congregational Life Team is looking for people to join them in helping to take care of the needs of the congregation. Not only needs, but celebrations and anything to do to strengthen our life together as church. They're meeting on Wednesday, September the 20th, in the library at 10 a.m. So come and be a part of that joyous group. The book spot at Park Creek School is starting up again. We're going to begin our second year of service on the 15th. That's this coming Friday. So if you want to help out and volunteer with that, the time begins at 7:30 and goes to 8:15. So just forego your breakfast that morning and enjoy that time of fun and fellowship. We are invited to the adult Sunday school class. We're going to begin a book study by Will Willimon on Fear of the Other, No Fear in Love. And there's a write-up there in the bulletin for you. On other fronts, are there any Ball State fans here? No, don't get too cocky. I mean, if you lived through the Rankin Smith days of the Atlanta Falcons, we know what that pain feels like for them. So be gentle with them. And then, of course, Auburn did defeat California in the first SEC versus ACC contest, I believe. That came on at 10:30 p.m. And to quote my sainted grandmother, Jesus just is not glorified by this in the least. So, are there any other announcements in our life today? Yes, Jody. That's right, and Vienna sausage is a real hot item out there. So, yes, I'm not quite sure why, but you know, calories are calories. Does make a difference, and we really need to help out. if that doesn't touch your heart, you have hairy thighs and don't love the Lord. Okay, to quote Ludlow Porch. Any other announcements together, Anna? Thank you, Jody. And yes, the they just burned through that food in the little free pantry. I think there's no telling how many lives this is touching. So please contribute generously toward that. Any other announcements? Then let us come and worship the Lord together. The peace of Jesus Christ be with you. Let us greet each other.
Please stand for the call to worship.
Get mine from under here.
Sleepers, awake. The Lord is drawing near. Gird your loins. Put on your walking shoes. Pick up your staffs.
The journey begins. Let us worship God.
And let us pray. Gracious God, voice of truth, come and foster faith in us. You call us to live in community and serve your kingdom. Help us in this hour to grasp anew your vision for how we can do so. Touch us with your love and guide us with your truth. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our guide and friend. Amen. You may be seated. If we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And together we pray. We stand at the door, O Lord, yet we are not ready for the journey. The preparations of our souls are incomplete. We have eaten the bitter herbs of anger and drunk the soured milk of complacency. We have neglected to invite our neighbors to your Passover feast and covet what we do not have. Settle, we pray, the stormy waves of our failures, and graciously forgive our shortcomings. Teach us the way of peace and community, so that we may journey faithfully with you as our guide. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's see. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, hey, so you got to get with the program, man. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, now we're ready to start the day. All right. Well, I want to take this opportunity to wish you a Merry Christmas. That's a strange look you have on your face. Is it Christmas time? No? Well, guess what?
It's going to be Halloween soon.
It's going to be Halloween soon. Yeah, they're both useful but hardly interchangeable. Actually, we're going to celebrate Christmas a little early because today at lunch, people have brought things. You have? You did? Oh, that's wonderful. People... You made something? What'd you make?
I made something in the Sunday school, but it's still in there because I still need to make it because it's going to go all the way across.
Oh, wow. Sunday school is crafty time. Yes, I know. Well, people have brought things to what's called a silent auction, where people get to bid on things, and the money goes to the church for a very special project. Have you got any idea what that might be? Christmas decorations. We're getting ready for Christmas already, and here it is, only September the 10th. So how much longer do we have until Christmas? Let's see, there's October, November, December, plus 15 days, so roughly 2 weeks. We got a little ways to go, okay? But you know what? Christmas is a time we kind of get ready for all year. From the time I put away the Christmas decorations from 1 year, I'm already thinking about the next, because Christmas is one of my favorite seasons of the church year, Advent and Christmas. I love the lights. I love the decorations.
I like Easter and Christmas.
You love Easter and Christmas? I do too. That is...
Because Easter, mostly you just get toys and candy, but mostly candy.
Christmas is way better. Okay. You get toys and candy at Christmas, just kind of candy at Easter. Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of for both of them. But you know what? I love all of the holidays, but Christmas is one that has always been special to me because it comes in the cold of winter and it's dark. And you got bright lights, and my favorite thing is the Christmas tree. You know what?
My favorite thing is decorating the tree.
Your favorite thing is decorating the tree. What's yours? That's right. We're getting another big Christmas tree. It's going to go right over there, I think. And the old Christmas tree was getting kind of shop worn. And it had seen quite a few Christmases,
And it was time to retire it and get a younger Christmas tree, a stronger Christmas tree, a better looking Christmas tree. I'm making myself depressed now. But it's that time. It's that time. So we're getting ready for Christmas a little bit early. And it's going to be a fun time. And let's go upstairs after church and see what everybody has brought and see what we can do to help get the church ready for Christmas, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the goodness of every season and the joy that is to be found there. But as we start making early preparations for Christmas, may we hear the Christmas carols in our minds and feel again the joy of the coming of the Christ child. And even though we're not there yet, help us to make preparations in our hearts through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Okay, see you next Sunday. Well, I won't, but Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Listen for God's word. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A year-old male, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt that night, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 13. Listen for God's word. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, choir. Sleepers awake. You did a good job. Nobody seems to be drowsing right now. All right. Our scripture lesson today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We are reading from the 18th chapter, verses 15 through 20. A very familiar passage about how we live in community with each other. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Your word comes with frightening clarity, O Lord, judging our actions and admonishing our ways. Help us to learn from these words how to live in respectful community and in reverence of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, I got some news for you. You may not like this. You may not agree with this. But nonetheless, here it is. Christianity is not a religion. It is not a religion. Christianity is about relationships. Religion is about rules and regulations and forms and structures, but the world of Christianity is about how we get along with each other. That's the difference between Christianity and all of the world's religions. Our principal call is to live in loving relationship with God and with each other. Now, you might say, well, I was raised that Christianity is a religion. Well, that's certainly true for some expressions of Christianity. My grandmother was an old school Presbyterian, and we dast not play cards on Sunday. We dast not read a novel on Sunday. Paperbacks were expressly forbidden. We dast not go to the movies on Sundays. In fact, the only thing we were allowed to do was to work on next Sunday's Sunday school lesson. I tried not to spend too many Sundays with Grandmother. She was a strict disciplinarian and an observer of all the 25 commandments, because she was sure that's what God intended. You shall not smile. Thou shalt not laugh, especially in church. It's a good thing Grandmama's dead now. You shall not dishonor the Lord by wearing tacky clothing. And she, of course, was the dictator of what was tacky and what wasn't. Tacky was considered to be the ultimate blaspheme against God. Polyester was a tool of the devil. Loud colors were expressly forbidden. Indeed, the only thing she allowed my grandfather, Judge Ty, to wear was a dark blue or gray Brooks Brothers suit with a white button-down shirt and a conservative tie, preferably black. He was a somber judge if ever one lived, and I'm pretty sure that the justice system in Atlanta was pretty much dictated by my grandmother's theological perceptions. Well, there it is, whether you agree with it or not. Christianity is not really a religion. The last thing Jesus wanted to do was to come and establish another religion. In fact, Jesus went out of his way to poke fun at the religious leaders of his day. Blind guides, he called them, empty vessels, empty tombs. Because you see, God's not so much interested in our obedience to rules as he is to the disposition of our hearts. In the Passover context we read for today, some folk might say, well, that's the establishment of a religion. You have all kinds of things you got to do. You got to find a lamb, either a sheep or a goat. You never see goat meat on sale around Easter. Have you noticed that? Yeah, plenty of lamb, not a single goat. That's completely aside. You have to slaughter the goat. You cook it without field dressing it. You eat it hurriedly. You put blood on the lintel of the door. And if your family can't eat the lamb all by itself, you invite your neighbors in to come and help. You dress yourself for the journey. You have your sandals on, you have your loins girded, you have your staff in your hand. I hesitate to see how you can eat lamb with one hand, but that's okay. You hold on to your staff. Bitter herbs and the other parts of the Passover feast. And then there's the injunction that you must repeat this story of the Exodus and the Passover to your children from generation to generation. Let me explain something to you. Relationships need some kind of precipitating event, and they need some kind of structure within which to grow. Have you ever tried to grow a tomato plant without a stake? It just kind of sprawls all over the place. But if you put up a stake upon which it can attach itself, it will grow vertically. And guess what? You get more tomatoes out of it that way. You really do, or so I'm told. I've never had any luck growing tomatoes. Everything needs a precipitating event. And so with the Passover meal, the precipitating event of the nation of Israel was begun. The structure upon which the society grew was the memory of this event, coming out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And they had the structure of confessing what they were all about. It didn't make it a religion. That came many, many years later with the construction of the Torah, the Talmud, the Mishnah, and all of the other commentaries on the Ten Commandments. Speaking of the Ten Commandments, have you never noticed that they're really about relationship? It says, you shall not do this, that, and the other, which is, if you think about it, being told what you shouldn't do always outnumbers the things you should do. The first half of the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments, talks about our relationship to God. The second half talks about our relationships with each other. These are not hard and fast rules to be obeyed by the letter of the law. These are the structure upon which we build our relationships. Fast forward now to St. Paul's letter. Owe no one anything but love. Well, I guess that rules out our having houses and cars and student loans, forget it. But life has changed a bit since then. We live in a world in which we are indebted to others, and that may not be all bad. Not just monetary indebtedness, but the indebtedness of our relationships each with the other. Paul says, live in peace with each other. Don't take each other for granted. Love one another. And even if it's difficult, stay faithful to the commitments of relationships. Paul's words here are very clear. We do live in community, each with the other. And that is a wonderful opportunity to glorify God. And then, of course, we come to the words of Jesus in our gospel lesson for today. How do we handle conflict in the community? Well, if you've been paying attention thus far in my sermon, you will notice that I have ruthlessly avoided the idea of conflict in society. But there it is. We do have conflict in society. And Jesus once again gives us a structure, a suggestion of how to handle conflict. First of all, if somebody offends you, go and talk to them about it. Let them know that they have hurt you, or they have angered you, or they have in some way let you down. And don't be afraid to do that. That is part of what we owe each other. Honesty in communication. I have not kept count of how many times somebody has come up to me and said, "You have disappointed me. You have let me down. You have angered me." But what I make it a point to do, whenever that happens, and it does happen, I immediately address the problem with that person. Be honest about it. "I'm so sorry I disappointed you. It was not my intent. Let's see what we can do to make this better." Because, you know, if you don't handle it like that, it's going to escalate. It's going to go beyond you and that other person. Jesus says, bring two or three other people into it so that they can verify everything that is said. Well, let me tell you something. If it gets to that point, you're both losers. I'm sorry. If it gets to the point where you have to call in witnesses to confirm what is said between the two of you, then you both lost because you couldn't handle it yourselves. And most often, it doesn't get to that point. No, most often before we go there, it's already spread throughout the whole community. Because you see, it's a human reaction. It's a human tendency to triangulate things. That's that fun old game from the games people play, if you read that book, "Let's You and Him Fight." People love to watch conflict as a spectator sport. And they don't really take sides too much. Sometimes they do. They just repeat what's going on. And the one thing I've always noticed in church conflicts, and you as the product of a church split know this so very well, good people don't say anything. They let it multiply until all of a sudden it's open warfare. Good people don't say anything because they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to make waves. They don't want to have argumentation in the congregation, because that's not the way we think of Christians, is it? Let me tell you something. Christianity does not equal passivity. Christianity is all about relationship and keeping relationships healthy. My sense of how I nurture and maintain my relationships has a few aspects to it. And I'm not saying I've got the answers to everything. But the first thing I try to do is be in prayer continually and listening prayerfully to the conversations going on in the church. Do I pick them all up? Oh, no, no. That would drive me crazy. But I try to just be aware of what's happening in prayer. And if I determine that there's something going on that just needs a little pastoral interjection, I'm more than happy to do it prayerfully. Secondly, I remain available. Available to my family, to my friends, to the people in the church. I remain available. You have my personal cell phone number. I don't know whether previous pastors have done that for you, but I've always made it a point. You have my number. You have my email address. It is out there and available for you. And if you've got a problem and you don't call me or text me or write me about it, guess whose court that is in? Ain't mine. It's a two-way street. I'm listening. I'm available. Thirdly, we need to be compassionate. We don't know what's going on in other people's lives, and we certainly are not in a position to judge. Compassion means to feel with someone, to go out of your way, to hear their story, know their lives, and be willing to stand beside them, even when you may not agree with them, to be compassionate. And finally, I go back to what Jesus says, and I realize that awesome responsibility where he says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. That is an awesome responsibility. What that tells us is, guess what? God's watching. Oh, grandmother used to say that all the time. God's watching you. Scared the devil out of me most of the time, particularly the way she would say it. But it's true. God has given us authority to nurture and live our relationships with each other. And God has promised that heaven is involved whenever we are together. Boy, that is a hard piece of learning to swallow. Heaven is involved. And there is a synchronicity, isn't that a marvelous word, between heaven and earth. We need to remember that and live out of that. And finally, Jesus says, remember, wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of you. You know, in the Passover dinner, there is always an extra place set at the table just in case Elijah shows up. And there's a place setting and there's a cup of wine to greet Elijah when he comes. Because that's part of the messianic ideal. Same thing with us. We need to always have a place set in our hearts for the presence of Jesus. And remember, he's an honored guest. Whenever two or three of us are gathered in his name, he is here among us. I asked grandmama one time. I said, what about that passage where he says, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will grant it. And she looked at me and she said, oh, he will. And he's got four ways, or three ways, I can't count. He's got a few ways of answering your prayers. There's yes, there's no, there's not right now, and there's quit messing with me, four. I get a lot of those number fours because I'm always asking for something for somebody. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But that does not absolve me of the responsibility of prayer for others. As we live in relationship with each other, let's remember, we're all works in progress. None of us have reached perfection yet, nor will we on this side of Jordan's chilly stream, but we're getting there. Let's treat each other as the treasures each of us are. Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of all good gifts, help us to remember that we are in relationship with each other and with you. Help us not to sully that relationship with selfishness, greed, ambition, hatred, or anger. Let us deal with these things responsibly, prayerfully, and faithfully, for we ask it by the power of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Declare that which we believe in our affirmation of faith this morning, taken from the brief statement of faith. Children of God, what do we believe? In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed, and blessing the children, healing the sick, and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised this Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to life eternal. Amen. Please be seated. Let us unite our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Let us pray. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we celebrate a new birth in our midst, the Hendrix baby. We ask your blessing upon mother and father and child, family and friends. Send joy, we pray, in the midst of the chaos that always attends a birth. Bring the overarching awareness of the blessing. Send, we pray, your presence and your healing to the people of Morocco, especially Marrakesh. Be with them and hasten the aid of delivery, for our humanity depends upon our community, each with the other. Send, we pray, your angels of peace to Europe, and grant that especially in Ukraine, there may be an end to the war and an end to the hostility and the hatred, and bring about the peace of your kingdom. Be, we pray, with our leaders in all that we are, in all that we do. Give them your wisdom, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, our lives are so marked by the influences of others. Help us to prayerfully consider our own identities and find the strength to rest in you, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we stand on the cusp of the future. We stand in the midst of things of which we do not know, but we trust you to guide us through it, even as Abraham and Sarah went to the promised land. So, Lord, lead us into your future, Lord, in your mercy. And be with us as we pray together the prayer which your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ taught us when we pray, to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. hearts, O Lord, we return unto you a portion of that which you first gave to us. Bless each gift and each giver, multiplying the gifts by your grace, that your kingdom may be expanded and our hearts may be strengthened in the giving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In our closing hymn, number 450, Be Thou My Vision, some of you are saying, thank you, Lord, a familiar one. And before we go, just a quick announcement, if I may. Our General Presbyter, Wilson Kennedy, will be preaching next Sunday, so be sure to come and bring a friend or two, and Wilson will give you a good sermon for a change. And I will be recovering from a little bit of surgery, so I will be out of the office Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week, as I catch my breath again. So, go forth from this place in peace to live in community with God and each other. Strive to be a blessing to each other this week, and especially to those whom you do not yet know. In the name of God the Father, who created us, God the Son, who came to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. Amen.